is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Now, with New York's only local News Talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
All right, Bill Rock, thank you very much for the introduction. We are both here in Studio 4 at WOR. Good morning,
what
sir.
What takes place in Studios 1, 2, 3,
Not
and 5?
Not much.
It's all here.
It's all right here in Studio 4.
I'm happy. We're 2 days early, but happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, I know that you're all geared up. You've already practiced in a couple of marches already.
4 weeks. Weekends of St. Patrick's Day parades.
And this is the third, isn't it not? Isn't there one more next week?
There's one more next weekend, yes. Yeah. This is the third weekend of St. Patrick's Day parades.
It's going to be a little cold and chilly, but you'll keep yourself
fine.
Warm walking.
You keep walking. And, you just bundle up. It's when it's hot that you can't, there's a limit to how much you can take off. But in winter, I've always thought you can put on more. And this is a fun parade. All of them are fun, but this one's good.
I don't know the technical about the St. Patrick's Day parade, but a couple of years ago, to cut some overtime and cost, you cut parades back.
All parades reduced the length of them by 25%.
Nobody even remembers.
Nobody remembers. It's fine. It's less overtime. It's less disruption to traffic, and it's still a chance to celebrate. And you got some of them were getting too long for it, just because it ties up everybody. Nobody really had a big problem because you still have a chance to celebrate. There's some people, I wanted to go by my store, my hotel, my restaurant, or whatever. And we tried to accommodate that to the extent anybody could. And there have been very few complaints.
All right. This week, you were stymied on the cup size issue.
We were shocked because the law clearly is something different than what the judge said it was. Every lawyer that understands what's going on.
Well, that's going to be one of my questions. I know you vetted the question
the authority of, whether you like the thing or not, the authority of the Board of Health to do these kinds of things has been tested in the courts again and again and again over a long period of time. New York City has always been the leader. Our Department of Health is, going back decades and decades,
we've former been the commissioner leader. Runs the CDC now.
Hamburger in Washington. There's a whole bunch of history here. We think we'll win on appeal. Whoever wins the next appeal will appeal it more. The strategy will be to try to outweigh this administration, and hopefully that doesn't happen. And if it does, but we still win, it'll be incumbent on the next mayor to do something. The outpouring of the people who say, I hadn't thought about it, but you're right. We got to do something here. Obesity this year will kill more people in New York than smoking. Obesity around the world, it's the first time you've had a rich person's disease become a poor person's disease. If you remember the old pictures of the big stomachs on all the bankers and that sort of thing, it was a sign of prosperity. Today, those guys are doing Pilates and running, and it's poor people that are really suffering here. And there's some of the organizations representing some of the people in minority communities in particular, where obesity is very strong, have taken money from the beverage companies and are coming out against this. This is their constituents, the people they're supposed to be helping who are suffering. And people say, well, let's have an education campaign. This is an education campaign. It's an education campaign that when you pick up the soda and carry it to your seat, you realize you're going to have to go back. Well, why is that? Because maybe it's not great for you. It's not a prohibition. It's a very small step. And manufacturers of full sugar drinks, I think they do understand it. There's going to be taxes and restrictions placed on, if we don't do something about this, on their products throughout this country and around the world, because nobody can afford the health care plans.
Yet, at the same time, this week in Mississippi, the legislature of Mississippi sent a bill to the governor that prohibits any restrictions of...
You've got to love it. In the state with the highest rate of obesity, they pass a law that says you can't do anything about it. Life expectancy in that part of the country is 20 years lower than it is in our part of the country. Think about that. The average person lives 20 years less, and they pass laws to keep that from making that better. If you wrote a movie, Nobody produced the movie. It'd be so inconceivable. It would be ridiculous.
Tell me about the frustration factor on your part as mayor. Or is this just the process?
It's just the process. Look, you can't have it both ways. If you want democracy, then you're going to have fits and starts. You're going to have lots of input. You're going to have dissenting views. You're going to move ahead in fits and starts. You're going to take two forward, one back. That comes with the democratic process. If you had a dictatorship, you wouldn't have had that. But I don't think that would be a better form of government. And people say, oh, it's so much worse today than the good old days. Well, Mother used to say that the good old days weren't the good old days. But we've had democracy for 235 years. We've survived. And then we'll survive this, and we'll win this thing. I mean, and you go back and you say, well, you know, think about smoking. This is easy compared to smoking. Can you remember the days when we put a smoking ban in and people would scream at you when I go on a parade by a bar and that sort of thing, and then there'd be crowds of people outside smoking outside of your office building? Almost never. And when you see somebody standing outside of an office building smoking now and you walk by, they put the cigarette behind them.
Oh, absolutely. They're embarrassed. Shame. Yeah. Shame is a wonderful thing.
I mean, this is where all of Western Europe is now smoke-free. Latin America, virtually every country. I did a filming the other day, last week, 2 weeks ago, for Chile, for the president of Chile. They just banned smoking in the whole country. But all these
And they came all the way to you.
All these big countries have... Well, because Bloomberg Philanthropies has been supporting a lot of the programs to try to get higher taxes on cigarettes, which reduces consumption among kids. Adults find a ways to pay, but kids are very price sensitive.
I was across the street this week at the Duane Reade, right across the street here, the new one, and I was getting something. It was late in the evening. I was one of the only ones around. It was 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and the kid behind the counter. I looked behind him, and I looked at all of the cigarettes that were there, and they were $11.25, $12.15, and per pack. And I said to him, "Do you sell many of these?" He goes, "Well, not really anymore." And I said, "Well, you can see why. $12 a pack of cigarettes."
Kids are very sensitive to price. Kids are sensitive to movies glamorizing, and so some of the projects going on around the world that try to convince the movie business to not glamorize smoking. Education. There's this brouhaha about reasonably direct ads trying to explain to young kids that babies born when they're really young limits their options and may not be good for the child either. Although some come out fine, but statistically it's not great. And if you see the ads against cigarettes in places like in Europe, they have pictures on every pack of cigarettes of people breathing through their throat where they have cancer and diseased lungs and people who've lost legs and that sort of thing. It really is, if you want, in this day and age, if you want to get the message out, you've got to break through the clutter, and it's only really direct things that will do it, and they do that in cigarettes. But the cigarette battle is, we're winning it. It's still, the cigarette companies around the world are targeting those without education. That's and the young. That's what they do. You think about it, it's pretty much a disgrace. If you and I did that,
no, be in jail.
Right.
All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight here, would you? I've got to take a break here. 800-321-0710. I see we got some. Yeah, Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling, you will be part of it as well. 800-321-0710.
You know, we were talking about obesity. Something like 100,000 people are going to die from obesity this year. 70,000 of those just diabetes alone, where people lose fingers and legs and that sort of thing. In the city, something like 60% of all adults in New York City are overweight or obese, and 40% of public school students in K to 8. And if you're obese K to 8, you're going to be obese as an adult. It really is just a... Just have to do something about this.
Protests in East Flatbush, rioting, looting in stores over the shooting of Kamani Gray, the 16-year-old, pointing a gun at the cops. I have a sneaking suspicion the story the cops tell is true, because I haven't seen a lot of people running over there, you know,
well,
screaming.
Well, look, anytime a teenager is killed or anybody's killed, it's a tragedy, and certainly a tragedy for the family. And you know,
yeah, you have
every parent's worst nightmare is losing a child to anything, and your heart just has to go out to them. I saw the mother was talking the other day, and I looked to myself and I thought, you know, there, but for the grace of God. All the evidence says the young man had a gun. We're going to conduct our normal full investigation. You take away the cops' guns and you do an investigation, and there's so far no evidence that they didn't do exactly what the book says. You shouldn't be carrying a gun. It's just dangerous. Anger in the community, I understand it, but violence and lawbreaking is just not the ways to get answers, and we're simply not going to tolerate that, and we won't. We're doing everything we can to get guns off the streets. This gun that was recovered was actually bought in Florida, and it's just another reason why you need federal laws, because it's too easy to carry guns from one place to another. We are the safest big city in the nation. We have the most diverse police force. The number of times that police officers discharge their guns is far, far lower than in any other major city. It's really quite amazing if you look at everybody sort of grouped, and you have to extend the chart down for how few times you have to police officers discharge their gun. And we're going to do everything to keep it that way.
The loophole that you and I have talked about, and you have spoken loudly nationally on the loophole about background checks at gun shows, story this morning that the governor has gotten most of the gun show operators in the state of New York, about 80% of them so far, to agree to closing that loophole.
Loophole is what the federal government passed laws that say you have to have a background check before you sell a gun, and you can't sell it to minors, criminals, people with substance abuse problems or psychiatric problems. And this that was in the days when all guns were sold through gun dealers. In America, there's, to put it in perspective, something like 50,000 gun dealers. There's only 32,000 post offices and only 15,000 McDonald's. So think about that.
A lot of guns moving around.
More than three times the number of McDonald's and gun shows, gun dealers. What's happened since then, which the law didn't cover, is the rise of gun shows and internet sales. And so there is this issue of if you have no background checks. Now, people say, well, if you had background checks, it wouldn't make any difference. But there are 14 states that have closed the gun show loophole themselves at the state level. You have to have a background
check.
Which
the governor is going to do.
Right.
Here.
You have to have a background check. New York, I'm not sure, New York State doesn't have that yet, although this will help. But New York City, it's very hard to get a gun because of our policies of going after the kids in the streets and just making sure they understand they can't carry guns, so they're going to get stopped. It's plain and simple. If they don't think they're going to get stopped, they'll carry guns. It's a sexy, macho thing to do. And if they are going to get stopped, they think they're going to get stopped, they aren't going to carry them. If you have fewer guns in the streets, either because of the 14 states that have closed the gun show loophole, or New York state laws, which are pretty good, this will make them better, and the city's very aggressive campaign, in those 14 states and in New York City, the suicide rate is half the national average. And the reason is the suicide rate with handguns is a tenth the national average. So wherever you have good, strong laws, the suicide rate is dramatically lower. The murder rate goes down as well. The reason I focus on suicides is there's going to be 19,000 suicides with guns this year and only 12,000 murders with guns this year. Suicide is an even bigger problem than murders. And, you know, the NRA can't say that the person shooting in a case of a suicide is a bad person. I mean, come on. This is...
We were talking, and I know you think that this is a bad idea, but the city council has...
There's no bad ideas, as Patty Harris would say.
The unemployment or the jobless discrimination
right?
bill.
I threw the cup into the wastebasket. I could play for the Knicks or the Nets.
Absolutely. I think there's a height problem, but that's just maybe a technicality.
Right.
Just a technicality.
But I'm growing.
The jobless discrimination bill. You're going to veto that?
Absolutely.
Right?
It's a terrible bill. The issue is the following. The city council is passing a law, which I will veto, which I assume they'll override the veto, that says that if you are looking for a job and don't get a job and you've been unemployed for 6 months or something, some long period of time, then you can sue the would-have-been employer and argue that they discriminated against you because you had been unemployed for a long time. The argument...
That makes no sense.
Well, it would be a disaster for companies because there's no ways No matter what you turn.
You can't answer the question.
First thing to do is just make sure you don't interview anybody that
is unemployed.
Has been unemployed. Sure, why would you just can't put your company at risk of doing something. So you'll have to try to find a ways, and I don't know how they'll do it, but people are inventive. Companies are inventive. They'll find ways of just not interviewing anybody that's been unemployed. That doesn't help anybody.
No, it doesn't help the business, doesn't help the unemployed.
There are other places where they have statutes that say you can't discriminate against somebody who's been unemployed, but to say that they can then sue you and you'll have to prove that you didn't do something.
How can you prove that? I mean, how can you prove what somebody is thinking?
You got that. You got that right. Now, we do have some laws that make some sense. There is a law that says you can't, in the first interview, ask about a criminal record, but you can if they get by the first one. You can ask in the second. Okay, I'm in favor of trying to get people who come out of jail jobs, because if they don't get jobs, they're going to go back to a life of crime. So it really is, we should all pull together and find some ways to get those people jobs. And, you can argue it's not quite the free market, but it is the second round, the company has the choice of asking. And so the first round may not be perfect, but it's not bad. But this one, companies will just avoid hiring people at all or find some ways. They'll say to a headhunter, don't send me anybody
that's unemployed.
That's unemployed.
Or I haven't read the bill, the exact bill, but does it say that you can't, that an employer cannot ask someone if they're unemployed? Now
I think there's the record is there of that you have been unemployed. No, because otherwise it wouldn't be.
Because my thought would be, if that were the case, how would you put a resume together? And when the guy looks at it, that your employment ended in June of 2012.
Yeah, well, if I look at a resume of somebody, and there's a big gap. You ask, what were you doing? Maybe you took time off to raise a family or go to school or take a vacation, whatever, that's fine. And then you make a judgment. Is that a good use of their time? Some people you'd think yes, some people you think no. But all what a person does before certainly influences any potential employer's judgment, positive or negative, as to whether they'll be a suitable employee.
The population numbers came out yesterday. The city is growing. Do you think people are moving to the city because of the mayor?
They're probably moving in because the mayor's only got 291 days left. they're moving in for a lot of reasons. Life expectancy. We joke about it. But, if on your deathbed I said, John, if you'd moved, you could have lived 2 years longer. I think it's, I should have done that.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But they should. Low crime, much better schools to send your kids to. I noticed the UFT wants to roll back mayoral control.
Big time, right?
When they ran the school system, it was a disgrace. It was falling apart. Buildings were falling apart. Books never got delivered. The minority kids got so far left behind, you have trouble finding them. And
the charter school they're running is closing.
The state gave them another year.
Another 2 years. Gave them a pass.
Failing school. No other charter school would have gotten that. That was just an out-and-out political cave. They should never have done that. They should be ashamed of themselves for doing that. And, they'll be annoyed now. They should be annoyed. They should look in a mirror and see what they did. When the UFT ran the school system, it was terrible. Today, all the metrics have turned around. Even Arne Duncan and the president say we have one of the best school systems and showed progress can be made and all of that sort of stuff. So all of those things go into it. We used to have people come here and then leave. The reason the population grew was because of people who were born here. Now we're actually having more people moving in than are moving out and more births. So all of that is good news. This is the first time since 1950. So that is what, 63 years or 62 plus years that more people are coming in than are leaving.
Is the increase in housing commensurate to those numbers, or are we just getting packed in a little tighter?
Well, we We are building 106 or rehabbing 165,000 units of affordable housing in our plan, which is bigger than the population of Atlanta. This 160,000 increase in our population is bigger than the population of Hartford, Connecticut. You know, the numbers in New York are so big. Biggest growth was in Brooklyn. Somebody said, well, why Staten Island only grew a little bit? Yeah, but Staten Island has been the fastest growing borough for a very long time.
Has to slow at some
point.
So,
yeah, at some point you have to do that. Look, the subways, we could use more subways and fewer cars on the roads. We had a plan for that. Legislature, we're waiting for them to come back with their better plan. The school system, no matter how many seats we build, the better you make your school system, the more people are going to want to go there, and you're always going to be without enough seats. The roads are crowded. The housing, doesn't matter how much you build. You can finance any residential building you want to build today. The banks are happy to do it because they know it's going to get filled up, either sold or rented right away. All of those things are good. Now, they're problems, but, you know, take a look at Detroit's lost, what, two-thirds, something like
that,
of their
bankrupt
population.
They just hired a specialist to see if they can get them out of
There's plenty of room on the streets there, plenty of empty houses. That's not what you want. Plenty of classroom seats. That's not what
They've
you want.
They've closed part of that city down.
Right. I mean, we have our what you call problems of success. And we got to deal with them. We got to keep building. And nobody's invested more in infrastructure and housing and schools than this administration has. But, you know, it's still going to be a problem going forward. And we're going to leave this city in great shape. We've kept control of our labor costs and going for the last few years. And, you know, people say, oh, you're going to have to go back and give retroactive raises. I don't know anybody in the private sector that gets retroactive raises. No, we've had a good deal. The workforce is working hard. I'd like to pay them more, but there's just not any money, and there's not going to be for the foreseeable future. We're going to have to keep finding ways to do more than with less, and our budget this time is going to reflect that. We keep cutting expenses. We keep improving the services. And remember, the people are moving to the city, so they're saying the city is better. And they're doing it at the same time we've had like 9 programs to reduce the debt, or the deficit, to spend less. Some costs keep going up, fuel and, you know, lots of normal things that keep going up. But, you know, the future for the city is actually bright. And we've got a great workforce, great services, people working, living together, and it's reflected in these numbers.
All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight. We need to take a break. We're a little long here at 8:34. We continue, Mayor Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling. Thanks for joining us here. We got a full bank of phones, too, which we'll be getting to in our next segment here. We touched on the teachers wanting to rip mayoral control out of the picture here. Any thoughts on the new pope? Watching what took place over
the coverage is about, you know, he's cooked his own meals, paid his own hotel bill, I saw, when he checked out yesterday.
He actually carried his own suitcase.
He's supposed to be a very active, easy to talk to kind of guy. And you know, it's the church is obviously reaching out, trying to do new things. A Jesuit, which was very surprising, and somebody from the New World, first time.
Tell me about, because I read the story yesterday, and I really don't quite understand what's being attempted here about this In Bloom. This has to do with the DOE, the In Bloom contract about data.
We collect data on our kids. You have to know who's coming to school. We keep very careful control over it to protect the students. The state insists that we send that data up to them.
And this is a state contract?
And that's a state contract, yeah.
Bloom and for whatever.
Right, look, I'm perfectly prepared to believe they're probably doing the right thing, trying to analyze what the problems are. If you can't measure it, you can't fix it, I keep saying. So I would, you know, assume that they're doing what's right, but I'm not familiar with the details. It is a state thing. We're very careful, but the state says send the data. We don't have any choice when we send the data.
Okay, I got you. Did you read the story this morning about the Board of Elections and the suggestion to the city council yesterday that they rehab the old mechanical machines with a key, with a touchpad on it, only as information? Nothing, not as an actual voting tool.
You can't write this. These guys could work in Mississippi. I mean, we had voting machines that worked fine. Nobody could look over your shoulder. it was not ambiguous as to who you were voting for because you pull down the lever. Right now, is it an X? Is it a check? Is it a dot? Where did you write it in? If your eyes aren't great and your hand shakes a little bit, it's hard to get to the right spot. And when you hit the, when you pull that lever, it was recorded. There was no chance of fraud. The people watched the back of the machines. They read the numbers off while the cop watched and called them in. And they said, well, there are no parts available for replacements. What do you mean parts? You go to a 3D printing company, they'll make you any part in the world. I mean, it was so ridiculous. And we had already paid for them. So they get rid of those. They come up with a system where anybody can look over your shoulder. Number two, it is so easy to take little paper strips at the end and throw them away. I mean, you can't figure out where you're putting your dot and or cross or X or whatever, or check mark or whatever. And a lot of it came because one newspaper, as I remember, riled against you can't use computers in voting. Computers can be hacked. Well, if you're worried about computers being hacked, which we should, incidentally, but you can have safeguards. Don't get in an airplane if you're worried about computers. If you're worried about computers, don't get in your car.
Don't wake up in the morning.
Don't wake up in the morning. That's another computer that wakes you up in the morning. Don't get on the elevator. There's, you know, brushing your teeth. You're gonna have a computer in your toothbrush. They're already vibrators, and they'll change it which side of the mouth you're on. I mean, the new Samsung I read about in the paper today. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. You look at it, and you don't even have to touch it. You can move your eyes, and it will help you. I
mean, how does it know?
It's very smart. good Korean product. And it's real competition for Apple. It's amazing. Everybody thought Apple would own the world when Apple stock was at 700. Today it's at 425, and they're not ruling the world. It shows you how quickly technology changes, and it's great for the consumer. It may not be good for companies. It makes a real challenge. But anyways, the newspaper riled against computers, and so they went backwards. It's another one of these things you couldn't write the book. To go back to a system that you know is inferior. And now, the big problem is if in the mayoral election there is a runoff needed, there isn't enough time for them to print new ballots and reset all of the machines and everything the primary and the general election.
If it was a computer, you could have somebody program it from anywhere in about 15 minutes.
You're high. It doesn't take that long. Only give me a few names.
Halloran, according to the story in the paper this morning at this hearing yesterday with the Board of Election people, Halloran says, pulls out his iPad and goes, why can't we do this for $299 per machine? And the woman said it's because they will be stolen.
These are their employees.
Exactly.
And their solution is the city should give the Board of Elections more money.
Per machine.
They have gone for years without an executive director, and they've disenfranchised most of the people. A very big percentage of the people in the city no longer are affiliated with either the Republican or Democratic Party. They don't have any votes on the Board of Election. It's only two parties. And if you take a look, why is this not constitutional? Because the Constitution lets the state legislatures set the rules. And I still don't understand why you couldn't sue and win, but the lawyers say that you don't have a very good case. It's so undemocratic with a small d. It is so inefficient. And I don't know how they're going to get through this.
Obviously, they're not.
If there's no runoff required, they'd be okay.
Right, I understand. But, I mean, just the whole disorganization and the fact that the whole thought process is
remember
skewed.
The gang that couldn't shoot straight? Does that come to mind?
What do you think is going on? Tell me, what do you hear is going on in Washington over the gun control stuff? Is it going to run out of gas?
I don't know if it runs out of gas. Or not, but I don't think it's fair to say it is now. The democratic process, you have to go through a lot of these committees and that sort of thing. Congress goes into recess for a few weeks. During those few weeks, they'll hear from their constituents when they're home. Nothing's going to get voted on until after that. 90% of the people in the country want to, even gun owners, want to protect gun owners' rights, but also don't think we should be selling to kids and criminals and drug addicts and that sort of thing. And if they speak up to their elected officials, they'll come back and they'll vote.
Food stamp usage, big increase. From 1.25 billion 10 years ago to 3.4.
Well, it's a federal program.
doesn't cost the city anything?
We administer it, but it's virtually all federal money. But it might not cost the city, but it costs all of us because we're all, we may have be residents of the city. We're also citizens of the country, so it is a real cost. There are people who say, doubling the number of people with food stamps is terrible. There are people that say it's a disgrace. We should have increased it by three or four times. There's lots of other people that need it. There's a populist view that everybody should get free food, and there's a conservative view that nobody should get free food. And a real balance is the people who really are up against the wall. We insist on, for a lot of these social welfare programs, you have to work. But let's assume you have parents who don't work and they have kids. The kids, you're going to let the kids starve. You can't do that. We used to have fingerprinting to keep the people from double and triple dipping. Governor decided that he didn't want that in New York State, and it's up to the state. So we've hired a bunch, or in the process of hiring a bunch of investigators, because I don't want anybody going on where, unless we do the research, and that's going to slow things down. People said fingerprinting slowed things down, but New York City was the only place that did it in the state. We had a higher take-up rate than the rest of the state. It was anything but, it was an efficient thing. It saved money, prevented double dipping. I don't know why it went away, but it did. And this is what we have. And you will see a more... The danger is that you see more people getting food stamps because you've reduced the standards rather than having a set of standards and making for you enforce them. Whatever level you decide people should have, we should at least make sure that the public knows that the system that that approves it is fair and is avoids corruption.
There's a movement afoot to reduce and or eliminate the requirement of working for welfare.
There are people that want to do that all the time. You know, in the end, that'll happen unless the people that pay the bills stand up and say to their city council people or in the assembly and Senate in Albany or the Congress and the Senate in Washington, we ain't going to do this. We are not going to pay for it. You stop this. And if the groups that want to... For some reason or other, you can come back to the fingerprinting. There are people that say it is insulting to ask people who get benefits to be fingerprinted. But incidentally, if you come to work for New York City, we fingerprint everybody. So you can work for the city and you have to show who you are. You can't do that if you want to get a benefit. Another thing, the street carts, street vendors, you give them a ticket. You give them a worse, the law says the second time, let's say the penalty's worse. You go into court and the judge says, well, show it, who was it the first time? How do you know it's the same person as it was the first time? And you say, we got his name. Well, prove that that was him. Maybe somebody gave you a false name. Only ways to do that would be with fingerprinting. Oh, we're not allowed to fingerprint. Deliberately, it's another ways of government to deliberately say, we're tough, but make sure that they're not.
Exactly. All right. We got some folks on the phone, Mr. Mayor. Why don't I take my final break here? Looks like we've got a full bank of phones. 7 before 9 o'clock. John and Mayor Michael Bloomberg. And now you. We're going to start right with the first line here this morning. That's Eric in Sunnyside. Eric, good morning. You've got the mayor's ear.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Mayor. I appreciate you taking my call. I appreciate what you're doing regarding salt, and I'm a little bit of a medical researcher, an amateur one, and I've found out that Dr. Max Gerson, that came to our country as an immigrant years ago, when he fled Hitler, became a successful doctor. He was a neurosurgeon.
All right, what's your question, please?
My question is, would the salt actually help to cure migraine headaches if that was restricted?
Well, I don't know whether salt has anything to do with migraine headaches. The numbers are they estimate something like 90,000 people in the United States die from too much salt, and I think it's like 20,000 in New York. I vaguely remember that number. But it's interesting. It's one of these things we, if you remember, tried to convince package goods manufacturers to cut back the salt. And if you go into the supermarket, an awful lot of products have low sodium written on it. So the public does want to reduce the salt intake. The manufacturers want to advertise that they can help them do it and sell their products. And most of the salt that you get will come from packaged foods and in restaurants. If you go and, you know, you buy a little bag of Lay's potato chips, you say, oh, there's a lot of salt on it. That's not as much salt as in one muffin.
Really?
Yeah, because you don't taste it in the muffin, but it's used as a preservative. Most of the stuff comes from most of the sodium comes from packaged foods, and it's not the salt that you put on your food from your salt cellar. You couldn't put enough on to really catch up to the other thing.
I was been curious about this when you went to the manufacturers of the processed foods to ask them to do this. Did they push you back? Or
some did, some didn't. We had 20 of them, I think, in City Hall about a month ago that they had done it, and not all their products, but a lot of them. If the public wants low sodium, they will do it. It's like trans fats. Public didn't want to buy products with trans fats. Most trans fats are gone, and people live longer because of that. And you can argue we're not forcing companies to do it. It's the public that's forcing companies. That's the way capitalism works and should work.
All right, Evelyn, it's your turn next with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Go.
Hi.
Good morning, Governor. Governor. I'm sorry, Mayor.
That's all right. That's next time.
Or maybe. No. This is it. Thank you. I'll stay right where I am.
I live here in Queens. The city has installed speed bumps throughout Whitestone, Bayside, and Beechhurst. The speed bumps are an accident hazard because of its construction. They're not graduated or angled properly. On 162nd Street and Cross Island Parkway Service Road, the speed bump, it's too close to the side street.
All right, well, I'll ask the Transportation Commissioner to look into it. But keep in mind, speed bumps are to slow you down. So if you hit them, if you go too fast and you say, oh, it's an accident waiting to happen because it bumps you around, well, that's what they're designed to do. I've never been thrilled by speed bumps, but they do seem to work. And speed bumps, a lot of demand for them around schools. There's a lot of demand for them in neighborhoods where they say, oh, people are speeding. Of course, what they don't realize is if you put the speed bumps in and somebody speeds anyways, you hear the noise in the middle of the night, bang, 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 bang. So they are a little bit controversial, but generally around the country, and a lot more outside of New York City than in New York City, speed bumps are one of the ways to control traffic.
Speed humps, which is the larger version.
You and I were talking about out on the island, but that's true all over the country.
All right, Evelyn, thanks for the telephone call. Harry in Queens, you're up next with the mayor. Go ahead.
Hi, Harry.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, gentlemen.
And you too.
Mayor, what can an individual like myself do to prevent the UFD from retaking the Board of Education? Can we sue like John Liu and Bill de Blasio and Chris Kingpin?
Well, no, they have a right to say what they want. And keep in mind, who knows if they were elected what they would do. It's one thing to campaign and another thing to do things. I've always been proud of we put out lists of everything we promised to do, and then the press doesn't pay attention to see whether we actually did them, and that's annoying.
I interviewed Bill Thompson yesterday, and I asked him that question. Yeah. He said mayoral control will stay if he is elected.
Yeah, I mean, it's staying, yes, but if they water it down so it means nothing, it's like, John, it comes back to we're going to have a tough law, but then they make sure you don't enforce it. Mayoral control means mayoral control. When the UFT ran the schools systems, it was a disaster, and that's what they did up until 10 years ago. Harry, I think the answer is you call your city council person, call 311 and we'll figure out who it is. Call your state assembly member or state senator. We can help you with that too at 311. And you say, look, this is the future of this country. This is the future of our city. And I will not tolerate you letting the UFT take over and watering this down. And I'm going to hold you responsible. And if the elected official says, well, I vote the way you want, you say, yeah, well, that's great. But I don't have any say in what the other members do. So you tell them that I'm going to vote against you unless they do what I think is right. That's exactly the ways you say, why should we ever give money to help a U.S. senator from the other side of the country? Because they all have the same votes. And you say, well, our senator says he's doing the right thing. Fine. But you don't have any say over in these other states. And you could send him some money. But other than that, you say to your senator, you're the one, your job, I expect you to convince them. And if your city council person, Harry, or your assembly or Senate at the state level or a congressperson or senator at the federal level thinks that their ability to get reelected is in jeopardy, they'll listen to you. That's what they care about.
I don't know that I've ever heard somebody say that. It just strikes me as something new I've heard.
Right.
It makes sense. I'm not suggesting.
Sure.
It
I mean, you don't
sense.
Have a say with these other city council members, but your city council member does. They work together, and you say you get this done. My ability is to influence whether you get reelected or not, and the ways you're going to get reelected. And this is what the NRA does, the same thing.
All right, Mr. Mayor, that's it. Don't stumble tomorrow in the parade.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
up the avenue and enjoy.
Fifth Avenue, and there's one on Sunday, too. You can join me.
Smile and turn green.
Absolutely.
See you next week. Thank you very much. Coming up ahead, Jennifer...